everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And I always like to say hello and welcome, especially if you're listening for the very first time. I have been on this network since it began. So I was just looking at all the people I've interviewed, and I just keep scrolling down and down and down and down my list because it's been hundreds of people I've interviewed. It's just been a wonderful opportunity to be part of this network and to have a vehicle to share information that really makes a difference to people's lives. So thanks for joining me, and I hope you'll share this information, share the link. The archives are always available, and the best way to get the archives, quite honestly, is to go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, just like me there, because I post all of the archive shows for this show and the other show that I do every week on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on this network called The Love Code, and that show has a little different focus. It's a spiritual show. So I have some very uplifting, inspiring, healing, transforming guests, and that's the purpose of that show, is to really allow you to make a powerful connection to the place inside you where change and healing and transformation happens. So I hope you'll listen over there at The Love Code. But if you just opt into my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, all of those shows get posted there. And then the other thing, you can go to my website, which is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and that's DR for drcherylselman.com, because I will email out every week the shows if you opt into my website and my newsletter and all sorts of things that I have in store for you if you join my community. So those are two options, Dr. Cheryl Selman and Facebook, over at What Women Must Know. So this series that I'm doing is really geared towards understanding, inspiring, giving strategies for the month of October, which is breast cancer. Well, I think it's called Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I like to call it Breast Health Awareness Month. And there are many facets of what is required to stay healthy and to support the body in healing, rejuvenating, and in actual fact, just really choosing a path that will keep us filled with aliveness, vitality, and well-being. So I am so thrilled to have on my show today, all the way from Australia, a very special guest, Dr. Peta Stapleton. And I met Peta when I was speaking this July in Australia at the Nutrition Summit, and she was one of the keynote speakers. Had fascinating information, just was spellbinding, and I am just so thrilled that I've been able to get her to spend some time with us all the way from my ex-hometown, Melbourne, Australia. And let me just take a moment and introduce her to you. She's an associate professor, and Peta is a clinical health psychologist at Bond University, Australia, and embraces evidence-based practice and is passionate about new and innovative techniques. Peta is known for her food cravings research using emotional freedom techniques, or tapping, and has led the way to have the stress reduction tool be included in schools worldwide. Peta has been recognized with the Harvey Baker Research Award for meticulous research in energy psychology, the Global Weight Management Congress Industry Professional Award of Excellence, and the greatest contribution to the field of energy psychology. She has also been named the Gold Coast Women's in Business Award for Innovation and Technology. And it's just my greatest pleasure to interview and introduce Peta Stapleton to you. And we have to say, Peta, we have to talk about your book as well, because I didn't include that in the bio. I was going to let you give us all the wonderful information about the best-selling book that you have as well. So first of all, hello and welcome to What Women Must Know, Peta.
Oh, thank you so much for the invitation, Cheryl. I look forward to having a chat today and talking about all things that come up. Really good to be here.
Absolutely. And look, it's such a, you've done such amazing things in your life, and you have taken this technology, and which is the known as energy psychology. Many people know it as tapping or EFT, emotional freedom technique, but you have taken it into a university setting where you have actually done the research to show and demonstrate the validity of this innovative healing change tool. So how did all that happen, Peta?
Yes, and it probably wasn't really something I was looking, because anyone that might be familiar with tapping, you know, we stimulate tap on pressure points on the face and top part of the body, and it's radically different to a lot of talk therapy. So I wasn't looking for something weird way back when, which was over 18 years ago now. But I was always, alongside seeing clients in that private practice setting, teaching academically. I just loved that space. So I've always had a job like that. And my job at the time, which was in the School of Medicine, required me to do research. So this was about 15 years ago. So I said to my boss at the time, who was a general musculoskeletal doctor, oh, can I investigate this tapping thing? And you can imagine the look on his face. He's like, what are you talking about? And he said, I don't know what you mean, but sure, have a go. So that's sort of how it came about. And he also didn't think anybody would come to our trial. So I had gone on a little local current affairs kind of program just to demonstrate and say, look, we're running this free 4-week tapping program for food cravings. If you want to come along, give us a call. And so he thought nobody would turn up. And we had 4,500 people who responded to that first clinical trial. So we kind of went, wow. Oh, wow. People are looking. So that's where we started about 15 years ago. And I was mostly in that space of food cravings and weight issues, because that was my clinical area, eating disorders. Yeah, so I wasn't looking, but at the same time, I probably was open to something that would help my clients. Like we were chatting before the show, you know, both of us are probably oriented into, yeah, anything body-based that might help clients recover faster and quicker. And a lot of that emotional somatic approach works a lot better, if you like, than the cognitive talk therapy. So, yeah, so it is how I came about to sort of stumble across it. And I was lucky enough, I guess, at some level that academically that position at that university allowed me to do that. And then once we got the runs on the board showing that, hey, this tapping thing might actually have something to it, and, of course, there was research happening in the US as well, then when I transitioned over to where I am now at Bond University here on the sunny Gold Coast, they were quite happy for me to continue, and obviously we've done a lot more research since. So I do count my lucky stars that I'm blessed that I do have an academic institution that's very conservative, normally supports what I do. They're like, oh, she's just the tapping lady. we just keep forging ahead.
So let's talk about some of the research you've done, because that's what's really unique about your work. Not only did you get the university to get on sides with you, but you actually have demonstrated some quite significant results and benefits from using this technique, which we will, by the way, everyone listening, we will get into, we will explain it to you, and we'll take you through a session as well. So before we get there, let's just talk about what you found in the research that you have conducted using the EFT technique.
Yeah, so where we started with all the food cravings, because we do have here in Australia an obesity crisis too, so we were really looking at how to complement other weight loss strategies in that space for people that were overweight or obese, so all adults. So we were measuring things like, you know, how severe a food craving was for somebody in that they couldn't resist it, you know, their level of restraint, psychological symptoms like anxiety and stress, those types of things. So we always measure those sorts of things. So we were finding in the early days that just attending a program 2 hours a week, doing tapping in a group, was certainly getting rid of people's food cravings. But we always looked to see how long does it last over time. So 6 months and 12 months down the track, we would follow up those people and say, okay, how's your food craving? How's, you know, your anxiety related to that? How's your depression? Those kinds of things. And what surprised us back in the beginning was everybody was sort of I guess, looking at us blankly saying, what do you mean my food cravings? And we're like, well, you were having, I don't know, say 8 chocolate bars a day. And what they were telling us was they hadn't thought about those chocolate bars since the trial, you know, a year ago, that type of thing. So anecdotally and then in their questionnaires, they were losing weight. So certainly that wasn't our primary outcome measure, but they were losing weight. We had people that, you know, were standout cases that were losing, you know, 25 and 30 kilograms over that 12 months just because the tapping on different areas of food in their life was reducing that desire so low that they just forgot about that food. So we took it to an extended program and started to run 8-week programs and compared it to cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a gold standard. You know, over an 8-week period, people in a CBT program also do well, like it makes sense to a lot of them. But where EFT really, I guess, stood out in comparison to CBT was it got its outcomes faster. So the people in the cognitive behavioral groups didn't really get their outcomes till 6 months down the track, but the EFT tapping groups were getting their outcomes in that 8-week period, and then they were just lasting, you know, 6, 12, 2 years later.
Wow.
So it was definitely faster, and we've seen that replicated in lots of other trials that it's comparable to gold standards, but it's quicker. And sometimes that might be important to people to actually, you know, for financial constraints or ability to access therapy, that type of thing. What also happened with the CBT people was their food cravings came back at 12 months. So when we re-interviewed them, they found that they had slipped back into some of their old patterns, but the EFT tapping group hadn't. They just forget about their, and what we know now is at a neural pathway level, the brain just rewires itself, so it's not part of their life anymore, that chocolate bar or soft drink or whatever it might be that they've done their tapping on. So we have converted it. We ran an online trial where it was the largest online trial of tapping around the world. This was several years ago now, and they all self-paced through video modules. They were videos of me, but they were actually doing it themselves online, and they had access to an online group where I was present. So over that 8 weeks, they still got personal contact. And we've just finished the world's first 2-year follow-up of that particular program, and it's actually under review with the journal at the moment. And I can tell you that it was exactly the same outcomes as attending in person. At 2 years down the track, none of their cravings came back, their restraint stayed high, their willpower was improved, anxiety didn't come back to what it was before they started, and it's like exactly attending in person, which is really positive, I think, if somebody can't get to maybe therapy in person, that we do know this works in the online space. So that's very exciting that we have been able to do that. And we've done lots of other trials, and I know we talked about some of them at that conference, Cheryl. We've looked at clinical depression, cigarette smoking, the stress hormone cortisol in the body. We've looked at so many other variants. We've taught teenagers in high schools for test anxiety and perfectionism and things like that. So we've expanded and done so many different trials, and I'm sure today we'll talk about where we're going to go from here. So it's been quite a journey, but I really do love it. I must say I'm an introvert at heart. I quite like the research space.
Well, you know, and by the way, we have to tell people that you Hay House has actually published your book, The Science of Tapping.
Yes.
Do you want to just say a little bit about that? Because I know you have an event in October coming up in,
in
Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
So
yes.
I have my Melbourne people listening. So why don't
Fabulous.
We just do a little
talk about that.
Announcement about it right now.
Great. Yeah, so about 2 years ago now, Reed Tracy, so the CEO of Hay House, had reached out to me to sort of say, because tapping for their audience is well known. Nick Ortner and people like that obviously have had their books come out through Hay House, The Tapping Solution. And Reed, it was very good friends with Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's actually quite a close colleague of mine, myself, in that meditation space. And we at Bond University do Joe's analysis of his EEG scans from his meditation workshops. So Joe had kindly, but not through my request, said, you should write a book on the science behind tapping. And I'm like, really? Would anyone read that? So he had arranged, and Reed had rung up and said, oh, we think we'd like you to write this book. which I wasn't too sure about, but, you know, lucky I had tapping, so I tapped on my self-doubt, and the science behind tapping came out in April this year. So it's literally everywhere, because Hay House obviously have published it, normal bookstores, online, ebook version, Kindle. Literally, if people just Google the science behind tapping and my name, they'll find that. So we do have an afternoon coming up in October, late October, the 20th of October, down in Melbourne, where I will showcase just where the research is at with tapping, teach people the technique, and we're going to show some really cool technology. So we've actually just partnered with a company where we have wearable EEG machines that are soft, and we actually can tap and on the app see our EEG brainwaves moving and changing. And there is a video of me just a couple of days ago on Facebook demonstrating that, but we're going to do it live in this workshop in the afternoon in Melbourne. So those details are on my website as well if people want to come along. It'll be a fantastic afternoon and fun. So if anyone kind of has a bit of a Google of me online, I've got a TEDx and things like that. It's interesting to listen to, and because you get to do it physically, it's also obviously pretty cool to just experience it. So that book goes through all the research when it came out to date that's been done on tapping, all split into areas. Like if you just wanted to know what's the research on pain, you can just read that chapter, or PTSD or students and children. So we split them into chapters to make it just nice and easy if people were just interested in those particular areas. And there's lots of client stories interwoven throughout that book. So you actually get to hear from people that have been through a certain condition and use tapping and what happened to them. So yeah, it's a really easy read. And if anyone wants to know anything about it, obviously that's probably the go-to book at the moment.
Well, congratulations for making all that happen. That's quite an accomplishment, writing a book and getting such just exposure, huge exposure, and of course helping people to make major changes. So okay, so for people who may be listening who don't know what EFT is, never heard of tapping, let's just start there and talk about this. What I think it would fit into the category of what I've called brief therapy, which I have used, and it certainly is a brief therapy because you can have amazing changes permanently, like your research has found, that lasting changes over, you know, just having a session or two doesn't take long, and it's rather painless. But that's what I love. That's what I love. I love modalities that can have the ability to create profound change quickly, easily, effortlessly, and permanently. So let's talk about what this is, what this modality called emotional freedom technique, also known as tapping, as people will understand in a little bit why it's called tapping as well.
Yes, so it's certainly been around for about 40, 45 years now. Gary Craig was the originator, who was an engineer looking for his own kind of self-help strategies, and had learnt there is a precursor to tapping called thought field therapy that's very similar in that we tap on acupuncture points on the body. So listeners might be familiar with acupuncture. And rather than using fine needles on an acupressure point, we just tap on it with two fingers. So Gary Craig had sort of, you know, come out of thought field therapy and simplified it a little bit, and then sort of spent 30-odd years teaching anybody that would listen how to use this tapping modality. And then when Dr. Dawson Church took over that and EFT Universe, that's where we saw the research starting to kind of increase, and we came on board as well. So tapping is a term that has been coined by people like Nick Ortner from the Tapping Solution in the US, just because it describes the actual tapping on an acupressure point. Emotional freedom techniques is the traditional term. A lot of people don't know what EFT means, and I think tapping is a much easier way to describe it. We say, when we talk in the media, that it's like psychological acupuncture when not using needles but instead tapping on a pressure point. The difference with, I guess, acupuncture and tapping, we actually really focus our mind on what our problem is when we do the tapping technique. So we actually state what our problem is, and we say it normally something like, even though I have this problem, I accept this is just where I'm at. And then we tap through these pressure points, which makes it a little bit, I guess, counterintuitive to a lot of therapy approaches that perhaps try to get people to think more positively or reframe their problem and think of it from a different angle. What we do in tapping is actually state our problem. Now, what happens in the brain when we do that is the stress center that normally, you know, holds on to anything or sends out that message of stress or negativity engages when we state our problem. So you can imagine if you walk around saying, oh, I have this pain, you know, this really strong pain in my lower back. The minute you say it, the brain engages to obviously help you feel that. But it's actually the tapping on the pressure points that lots of different research trials have shown reduces that stress response in the amygdala. So as you tap, even though you're saying your problem, it becomes less. So we know what's happening in the brain is it's actually decreasing that kind of activity in the amygdala, and cortisol, the stress hormone, is lowering. It's decreasing as you tap as well. So you just got to, when people sort of first start learning tapping, often they say, I don't know what words to say. Now, the only thing you have to say is what your problem is. So that's the only thing you've got to remember is, oh, if I feel angry, I tap saying I feel angry. It doesn't reinforce it in the brain. It actually just engages the brain, and as long as you keep tapping, it will reduce it. So if we have a food craving, which is a lot of our research, people actually say what they love about the food craving, so about the chocolate or, you know, the bread or whatever it is they're tapping on, because that's actually what's happening for them is high desire. If you have pain, and we've done some chronic pain trials here, we tap on the nature of the pain, so we actually say the pain. So that's the only thing listeners have to remember, is just say what is going on for you when you tap. So don't try and trick yourself by saying the opposite. Just say what's happening. And normally we only tap when we have something distressing or something negative that's happening. But that is what we're actually saying. So if you want to, Cheryl, I could walk through what the pressure points are and listeners could tap along.
Yeah, you know, let's do that. I just have one question before we do that, because the question that keeps coming up, and I don't know if, you know, how if there's even an answer, but like, exactly, why does it work, PETA? What is it that, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, it's so simple. You're working on these specific points, which we're going to go through in just a minute, and we're stating our problem and just, you know, I accept this is where I'm at, and then you just say things and, you know, so you just, you know, reinforce with some words or statements, and you're tapping at these, you know, just key points. How does the magic happen?
Yeah, and it does seem, because you described it as a brief therapy, it is fast as well. Like, sometimes people can just tap for 5 minutes and be in a radically different emotional state. So Harvard University did a study on acupuncture points. Like, they mapped acupuncture points in the body inside MRI machines, and they did this over a 10-year period. It was a massive study. So just straight acupuncture, but mapped in the brain what happens when you stimulate different acupuncture points with needles. So they were the first to sort of show that there does seem to be this relationship between stimulation of acupuncture points and stress centers in the brain and emotional centers, like that limbic system in the body and the brain. So they showed that initially. And then what the EFT tapping research has shown is we seem to have a whole lot of physical or physiological changes that occur when we also tap on these pressure points, not just the stress center in the brain, but cortisol, that hormone, really changes. Like, we just did a replication trial earlier this year where 1 hour of tapping resulted in a 43% reduction in stress hormone floating around in the body. And we tested that, obviously, through saliva. But also DNA changes. So 1 hour of tapping results in, and obviously you do this through blood tests, 72 genes that change in expression. So we know that tapping on acupuncture points, Harvard originally showed stress centers in the brain, but we've now got all these tapping trials that also show all these other bodily changes. So as far as mechanism of change, and I did a workshop just the other day for staff at my university that came along to learn it for stress, and somebody raised the idea that maybe we're conditioning ourselves with the calming tapping technique to obviously, you know, make us feel better. And I said, yeah, that could be one sort of suggestion that, you know, a bit like classical conditioning of when I feel sad, I eat ice cream and that makes me feel better. Maybe there's something there that's happening as well. What it doesn't show, though, is how it lasts over time, because you don't have to keep tapping, and that's what our long-term studies are showing. Once you do the tapping and something's changed, most people don't have to go back and keep tapping, and phobias is a really good example. So if somebody taps on a phobia of a spider and they don't feel scared of the spider anymore, they don't have to keep tapping every time they see a spider again. They just don't get the fear response again, because the brain appears to change its neural pathways. So I still think we're at the beginning of understanding all of, we know the body has this massive change in the brain, but we're still, I guess, yeah, working out that mechanism of change. But then I've got to throw in, because I am an academic and I teach all the evidence-based kind of therapies, we don't know how a lot of those other ones work either. We don't know how right. cognitive behavioral therapy works. We don't know how acceptance commitment therapy. Right. We just know people yeah. feel better. So, yeah. yes, we yeah. we have a lot more research in EFT showing things like DNA changes or cortisol or heart rate variability, blood pressure, and amygdala activity. So it's pretty cool. I think we're at the frontiers of understanding a lot about some of these body-based approaches.
Well, it would have to change the way the neurons fire and how they wire, because
yeah.
people
yeah.
perceive reality differently when they finish the tapping session. And the beautiful thing about this technology, and that's why I've always been attracted to many forms of energy psychology and, you know, hypnotherapy and timeline therapy and NLP and all the stuff that I used to do in my practice as a psychotherapist, because it was fast. I mean, you didn't have to sit
yeah.
there and, you know, go over your story and, you know, get all involved in it and relive it. You know, you could just go into a place and access some part of you that knew how to rewire things and change.
Yep.
And that, to me, is why that's effective. That's where we want to go, right? Just resolve things and not have to figure out why, because that's, as I always used to say, is
yeah.
the booby prize. Who knows
true,
why?
True. And that's what
you know,
most
just
patients
change.
And clients want. Yeah, that's right. They do. People just want to come in and want to change where they currently are at. And if something can help them do that, most people don't kind of ask how and why. They're just happy that it's changed.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the exciting thing about this modality is you have said several times it creates permanent change around whatever the issue is in just a very brief session or two, and, you know, I guess it helps if there's some follow-up, but it in many cases doesn't even require that.
No, that's right. So most of the time we ask all of our clinical trial participants when they finish in the next 6 and 12 months, so have you kept tapping? Like, and really, like, 5% of people will continue tapping because they really love it. Everybody else forgets about it because they got the outcome they wanted through the trial, whether that was they came for depression or they came for food cravings or they came for chronic pain. So they don't keep tapping, but yet it doesn't come back. So that is the part that tells us the tapping during the actual intervention time, which was 4 weeks or 8 weeks or however long they spent with us, lasts over time because they actually don't keep tapping. So
yeah,
you would
yeah,
think they would
yeah.
because they got their outcome, but they actually don't. Yes.
Yeah, very cool. So, okay, yeah. why don't we go through a tapping session and,
yeah.
and kind of
yeah.
explain the points, and then we can do a little, and then you can talk about the latest trial, because we want to also give people the skill to know that you can use this for supporting your healing process, whatever
yes.
whatever
yes.
healing challenges
whatever.
You may have. And I know you're starting a trial with cancer, so we're going to talk about that. But let's have a little go with it first, and then we can
yes.
elaborate and expand
sounds good.
Upon it, okay?
Yes, so just for the purpose of perhaps walking through a couple of rounds of tapping, maybe if our listeners just have a tune into their body and maybe just focus in on an area that might feel a little bit tight. So that could be, you know, if you're currently sitting, you might sort of just tune in. There might be some muscle tension in your neck or your lower back, or just for the sake of sort of working through something to give you a real life experience, just have a tune in. I'm sitting here at the moment and I've pretty much sat all week at my job, so I can certainly feel lower back, you know, little bit twingy there. So what we do in tapping is we give it a rating out of 10 so that we know personally as we're tapping through the rounds it's shifting or there is some change happening. So we say or we ask people, if you had to guess a number out of 10 of level of discomfort, and 0 would represent completely relaxed, but 10 would represent the most discomfort or distress or whatever it is that you're tapping on. You can just let yourself guess a number out of 10. So if I tuned in now and just sort of went, oh, how tight does my lower back feel? I think it's about a 4 out of 10. So it's not excruciating, but I'm aware that there's something there. So that's all people need to do is just sort of go, what area of the body might you focus on, and give it a number out of 10. So that's just where we start. Then if people were to, we normally tap with our dominant hand and just the first two fingers. So first two fingers, dominant hand. And then if you took your other hand and tapped where the fleshy part is that runs down from the pinky. So sometimes people refer to that as the karate chop point because it's like that's how you would karate chop something. There's that fleshy part of your palm on the side. And there's images and handouts for free on my website people can download. And if you just tap there with the other hand with two fingers, normally this is where we start. So we would say something like, even though I have this sensation in that part of my body, so I'll just let people think about that for a moment, even though I've got this sensation in that part of my body, I accept this is what's happening now. And we would say that 3 times just to tune in. So again, even though I have this twinge in that part of my body, I accept that's what's happening now. And one more time, even though I have this feeling in that part of my body, I can definitely feel it. That's just where I'm at. And then what we do is start the round of tapping. So taking those two fingers again and tap on the start of the eyebrow. So where the hair is, the start of the eyebrow. What we say as we tap round now is just one or two words from that sentence that we said. And normally we focus in on the issue. So we might tap there and say, this feeling. The next point is the side of the eye, just where it dips in a little bit there, and we would say the same thing. This sensation. So we're just staying focused on whatever it is that we're tapping on. In this case, something physical. Next point is under your eye, on the bone there. Again, tapping there and just saying, feeling in my body. Next point is under the nose. Again, same thing, this feeling. Next one is on the chin point, so under the lips, just that crease there, tapping there, saying, sensation in my body. And you're just thinking about where it is. The next one, if you come to the end of your collarbone on either side and just come down about an inch from where the collarbone in the middle is and just tap there, this feeling in my body. The next one is under the arm. If you're a woman and you're wearing a bra, it tends to be the top bra strap. Otherwise, it's about 4 fingers down from your armpit. So just tap there, this sensation. And the last point is the top of the head, just directly in the center of the head, just tapping on the top of your head. And again, feeling in my body. So that were 8 points there, and that's called a round of tapping. We then sort of just take a breath. And we just check in. So that's our moment that we kind of go, how do I feel now? And if it was something physical, like we've just tuned in, we would just go, well, can I put a number on a 10 out of 10 now on it? Does it feel any different? Is it the same? Did a different word come to mind? Like if I tune in now, I'd say it's about a 3 out of 10. So I was actually using my own. And so something has shifted. If it's not a 0 or a 1 or you haven't got enough relief, you would go back, start of the eyebrow, and do the same thing. So we tap through again and we say the same thing, or if we want to change our words, we can. Sometimes we think of a different descriptor that's better, and we can tap it again and go all the way through. So if somebody was tapping on stress, for example, you're just rating the level of stress that's going on for you right now or whatever you're thinking about. Yesterday when I did my staff workshop, they were just tapping on some stress at work. So they were all individually thinking about their own personal circumstance and how they felt stressed, and they just gave their stress a rating out of 10. So does that make sense? Cheryl, I know it does to you, but
oh yeah, no, it's so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah. And it's
absolutely
fast. Like I actually did that quite slowly because I was talking through it. But normally, if you're sitting there tapping through your round of tapping yourself, and you can say it internally in your own mind, you know, 20 seconds later you've finished that round of tapping, and you might only do 3 or 4 or 5 rounds of tapping on those 8 points, and that's it. You feel better. Things shift. Something's different. And yeah, little kids are even better. They're fast. Little children just get up and run off after 2 rounds of tapping because they're fine.
And I think we have to say that this can be used with kids. It helps with, you know, whatever issues, children of all ages, they probably love it. It's probably considered a lot of fun to do it. And they don't have to talk, really, which is often difficult for children anyway.
True.
What have you used it with for children? What kinds of issues?
Both my daughters have had tapping, so they're 12 and 16 now, their whole lives, because I knew tapping before, so they learnt it from a very young age. You can use it for anything. So if someone, little ones, say a 4 or 5-year-old, you know, it's frustration or tantrums, they just tap on that feeling, and you're right, they don't have to say too many words because they're already in the state. As they get a little bit older, if there's friendship issues or, you know, feelings of stress and things like that with school and commitments, pressure, and we've done 2 school trials over the last couple of years here too, we've taught them how to use it for those types of things. Literally exactly the same things that we might tap with adults. Children don't often question how does it work and this is a bit weird. As soon as they experience, if I tap on these parts of my face, I feel better, they accept that quite easily. And because tapping's self-applied, so that somebody else doesn't do it to you, well, that would be very rare. So you actually learn to do it on yourself, which then means you've actually got the answer, you know, at your fingertips whenever you need to. So my youngest actually sometimes will come home, and she's 12 now, so peer issues might be going on, and she'll be like, I need to do some tapping. And you're like, okay. So she'll go off, and you see her walking around thinking in her own mind and tapping, and then, you know, half an hour later she's back and it's like a different child.
Wow.
So I did write EFT for teens for EFT Universe. So there is a book written for teenagers, 12 and above, where we really gave lots of stories about teens that use it for different things, and it teaches them how to do it. So if anyone had a teen, that book is a Kindle, as well as you can buy a hard copy, and Hay House actually print that one now, but they're pretty reasonable. I think they're under $10 to buy, but really handy because often, you know, teens don't have the skills. They don't know how to get over an issue. They don't know how to get past their stress or their worry or whatever it might be. So we use it for everything and anything. And we use bears. So we have a relationship with Build-A-Bear, the company here in Australia, and they make tappy bears for us. So the bears have the points on them for little kids. And you can use the bear as a tool to sort of say, well, my bear has these magic spots. And if we tap on them, can you find the same spot on you that the bear has? So Build-A-Bear have been fabulous here with the development of using tappy bears with kids.
That's wonderful. I saw them, and they just flew off the table when you were finishing with your talk, so that all those little
they did.
people's homes. You know,
no.
What a great idea. I mean, especially for the little kids. I mean, they're just the possibilities are endless when you're using this technique, aren't they? They're really endless. I mean, you can use it for any issue, a physical discomfort, an emotional issue, a memory, an addiction, an obsession, a trauma.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter that it all of it can be helped, if not totally resolved, with doing this.
That's right,
tapping.
Yeah. Exactly. And the answer to that. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Right. No, go ahead, Peter. Go ahead.
Sometimes people do ask, when you mentioned how many things it works for, people do kind of get curious or skeptical even about how can it possibly work for so many things. And the answer really is what we're tapping on most of the time is some level of stress in an issue. And because it's a stress reduction tool, that is why it works for so many things. You know, everything from an addiction to pain to trauma to, you know, anxiety to food cravings. It's because the common denominator there is stress. So just if anyone was wondering about how can it possibly work for so many things, that's what it's targeting.
Well, and that's because anything that is a source of disconnection from your inner peace and well-being will generate stress in the body. So that's why trauma or negative thinking or, you know, having a discomfort in your body, is they all generate stress, which leads to the release of cortisol levels, which can be really, when in excess, can be really destructive to the body.
Exactly. Yes.
So let's talk about the new study that you're getting ready to do.
Yeah, so we were approached, and the director of one of our integrative health institutes, medical health institutes, which is Australia-wide but also here on the Gold Coast, heard me speak at a conference. And he is the director of NIM, the National Institute of Integrative Medicine, and they treat cancer. They're a very holistic medical service and do lots of things, also traditional treatments. But he had been looking for quite a long time of a psychological, I guess, process that could support their cancer patients going through, so any type of cancer, but going through their treatment program. And so I think he'd kind of looked around and wasn't happy, and then he'd heard about this tapping thing and heard me do a talk. And a relationship was born out of that, I guess, if you like, and we're currently having our ethical approvals put into place at the moment. So late this year we will start offering the patients that come through that service in groups of six, while they have a cancer treatment regime, they will also learn tapping. And we're going to do a range of biomarker research as well. So we're actually going to measure their EEG, which is their brainwave states, in session as they tap with each other, as well as things like heart rate variability, cortisol, a range of different things, and of course their psychological quality of life and well-being. So we're very excited. That trial will run for the next couple of years, and yeah, looking to really support the cancer patients that go through their treatment regime with that medical service. So we're very excited.
Yeah, I that's wonderful, because let's talk a little bit more about, you know, what are the challenges for people, you know, it's for people who get a diagnosis, which, you know, so it's one of the most stressful events you can ever have is a diagnosis, right? I mean, just being told, okay, you know, your results came back and you now have, you know, stage one breast cancer. That information has huge impact on how the body responds, which can, if not addressed, can lead to further complications, even in some cases, so I've been told, metastases down the track if we still operate with that fear.
You're exactly right, yes.
Yeah, and do you have anything you want to share about that?
Yes, and that's, I think, what these doctors were noticing, was not only diagnosis, but then treatment regime and what people may have already heard about, the impacts of things like chemotherapy or radiation. They use a lot of heat therapy and things like that as well. So that's why I guess they were looking, because they noticed that patients may well get into remission through medical treatment, but then cancers were resurfacing perhaps elsewhere in the body, because the state that the patient was living in from remission was a state of fear as well, a fear of, will my cancer come back? And of course, ultimately for some of them it does. But what's contributing to that are high levels of inflammation and cortisol in the body that are coming directly from those emotional states. So we actually do have a lot of psycho-oncology research that's been done now, looking at the effect of neurohormones that get released with psychological emotional states and how they have their own wear and tear on the body. So, yeah, so it's really, what I'm so excited about is that this particular medical centre service, and they're Australia-wide, is so open-minded to come in and support their patients, obviously, at two different levels, that one will be able to use tapping to process any of that shock and grief that might be there around the diagnosis, but also target potential fears if they and when they go into remission, as to whether they spend their, you know, days and months then living in a state of worry and obviously being frightened, because the emotional state the body's in during that time actually unknowingly for some of them puts them in a ripe state for cancer to actually return, which is what we want to prevent. So we want to get them in a calm state where they haven't got that cortisol and adrenaline and things like that. So we'll actually be using it for lots of different things in those trials, and people will get access to their own ongoing care through tapping if they want to anywhere around Australia.
I mean, just think about that. If someone can do tapping who has a diagnosis or is undergoing treatment, which is always fraught with so much anxiety, and they can be in a place of peace, inner peace, have a sense of well-being, calm, happy, it's a whole different response that's happening on a biochemical level, which would support healing. Mm. That's huge, right?
It's massive. I know I'm predicting this particular doctor is going to get a Nobel Prize at some point in his life. But when you look at the research about, and there is a lot of research of people who have had spontaneous recoveries from terminal illnesses, and obviously with no intervention but had spontaneous, and then like obviously long-term follow-up shows it doesn't return. The things that stand out about those particular patients is they are in a state of calm and joy and gratitude and happiness, and they've done lots of different things to get to that state, but that is the state that they attribute their spontaneous recovery to. So it's really curious when you have a look worldwide, all those patients have the same type of emotional state that then allows the body to do its recovery. So what we want to use tapping for is to help patients get to that state and to use tapping as their daily stress routine if they need to, so that medically they've been supported to obviously, you know, have their cancer treated, but at the same time moving forward they now have some other tools to go back to their lives and obviously get on with living and living quality of life without that anxiety and stress and fear.
And the other piece of tapping with anyone who is undergoing treatment for any kind of cancer is the side effects that accompany, especially if you're doing traditional chemotherapy and radiation. They in themselves can be so difficult, painful, anxiety-producing if you have the nausea or you see yourself changing, loss of hair. So you also are going to be working with these patients as well, aren't you?
Yes. So they'll be in active treatment, and the medical center does do traditional therapies, treatments like that if obviously it's warranted. Others will be having hypothermia treatments and things like that, but tapping will be used for all those different issues. We have got a couple of published papers already, trials that have been done overseas on breast cancer patients, and EFT was used to cope with the side effects, the negative side effects of tamoxifen and things like that, like nausea, but then like you say, the body image changes that can occur, but pain as well. So a lot of patients feel muscle and bone pain with treatments. So tapping will be used for all of those types of things as well. And I included those cancer trials in my book just to show people that they had already been done and successfully done. People were able to tolerate the treatments much better. They didn't have the nausea. Because we often have with cancer patients too a nausea phobia where everyone has so much common knowledge that, oh, chemotherapy creates nausea and your hair falls out, that people already have that worry and fear before they come into that treatment, and they actually have a phobia and then it comes true. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we'll be able to use tapping for those kind of beliefs if they've already got ideas around, because the body will just match what we tell it. So we'll be able to kind of intervene there as well. There's a lot of different applications that we have worked through as to what we'll be offering.
You know, I just think it's so profound. I think that's the right word. Mm. So profound that we have this very simple technique that anyone can do of any age, and even if you can't, if you're disabled, someone can tap on your own points for you, right? I mean, so you don't even have to do it yourself.
Yes, exactly, right.
So we have this tool that can be used in just about any way you can imagine help is required. It can help with emotional needs. It can help with memories. It can help with anticipated worries. It can help with the actual discomfort or pain or problem, nausea that's happening even in the present time. It helps in all those categories, which, I don't know anything that can do it so quickly, easily, effortlessly, simply. Peter, I don't,
I'm with you, Cheryl.
Profound.
I don't know either.
Right?
Yes,
it's so profound.
It is.
And it's given away. I mean, people can go to many websites. I mean, your website as well has the instructions, right, how to do that.
Yep, there's videos to guide people. We have lots of there's lots of free resources worldwide. And you're right, that is part of, people do teach it and offer all that kind of guidance, and literally listeners can jump off the call podcast today and go and dive deep and start to do it. Sit in your lounge room and start to do tapping, which I think is phenomenal that it really does have a lovely kind of energy about it when you think that people really do share this tool with so many others free of charge, that's really unique.
So let's give your website again, because people can then go up to your website. You have a lot of great information, resources there. So it's just, I'll just tell people, it's PETA, P-E-T-A, Stapleton. So PETA is P-E-T-A, as Australians say PETA. We say PETA, but I say both, but I live in both worlds. That's it, PETAstapleton.com. And, of course, I think your book is a fantastic resource that people can benefit from. So that's the new book that's just fairly recently come out, right?
Yes, only a couple of months, yes.
Yeah, wow. So it's The Science of Tapping. And if you go to PETA's website, it's all there. The book is there. The resource is there. You can get it in all sorts of formats. I just have one question. What about if people want to learn to be a practitioner? What do you recommend for that? If someone wants to take this further?
Yes, so we do have worldwide quite a few organisations, so happy to kind of, promote all of them. Here in Australia, we do run our own health professional and teacher training. So if anyone was a health professional here in Australia or a teacher, our particular training is for them, because that's sort of our background, and that's evidencebasedeft.com. So jump on that website. That's just our training website, and we do have trainers all over Australia. Now, worldwide, you can definitely look at, and even if someone was a lay person who wanted to go and learn how to do this and certainly become an EFT certified practitioner to help others, you can absolutely do that. So there's a couple of organisations that offer that. So there is EFTuniverse.com, and they have trainers all over the world, including here in Australia. They're particularly geared to training lay people to become certified. You also have EFT International, again, worldwide, but based out of the UK. And again, they offer training. Most of those are all in-person trainings, but there is an online training, and I contribute to part of their teaching. So I actually teach the child how to use it for children module in their online training, and that is ACEP, A-C-E-P, which is the Association of Energy Psychology. com, and they actually, their training in EFT is online, and it is recommended and recognized worldwide by all of the other organizations as being very solid as well. So there's a couple of different options there. People can explore. Certainly, if you can't remember in any of those, we can email you all the details if you get in touch.
That's wonderful. Yeah, because I know for some people, they can just pick it up and use it with the resources on your side and some of the other sites, which go through all, it actually has a diagram and goes through all those 8 points. But if there are people who really think this is a modality they either want to include in their practice or want to, kind of start on the path of being a practitioner,
these
are options as well. And I think what I love about this type of work is that, first of all, it's really simple. It's easy. It doesn't require years and years of academic research to get a degree, but it also is so satisfying. Right? It's so satisfying to be able to see in front of your eyes miracles happen on a daily basis. People come in with their cravings, with their pain, with their fears, with whatever, and in a session in less than an hour, probably a lot less time, people can walk out feeling so different. You know, that is great job satisfaction. Oh, I don't know if I've lost Pisa there. I think I have. Well, there you go. I really endorse this technology. I have used it myself. I think it's great. So I just am so glad that we had someone like Pisa who is doing work in the academic world, and that the academic world is actually acknowledging something that is generally way, way out of the paradigm in which the academic perception of change happens. So anyway, that was Pisa Stapleton. She was my guest today. Again, check out her website, which is her name, Pisa, P-E-T-A, Stapleton.com. Great information, just a really passionate woman. For all of you listening, this is part of a series that I'm doing for breast cancer, breast health Awareness Month, so thanks for joining me. And as always, I just want to remind you, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.